This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Quite a range of views and perspectives on the issues that we're facing at the moment. Let me open it up to questions, comments, any points that people would like to raise with our speakers. Usual rules apply. Please stand up, yes, so that the camera can pick you up. Thank you.
My name is Neil. I'm the development director at the Rose Road Association, which is a centre based in Hampshire providing services for children and young people with complex disabilities. Question for John. Thought that was very interesting. Thanks for that. Question about the, I've written this down, it's the Specialist Child Assessment Centre that you're constructing in partnership with Vranch. Sounds great. A couple of things on that. Firstly, what have been the one or two main arguments that you've put forward to invest in that facility? I can see the reasons why immediately off the top of my head, but it'd be interesting to hear what your points have been in terms of getting that through and investing there. And secondly, in terms of the funding, once the capital build is done, how does the funding work going forward in terms of the next year, 2 years, 5 years, that sustainability funding, which has been mentioned this morning, really? And thirdly, can I come and visit as well? That sounds great.
Yes, absolutely, you can come visit.
Yeah, well, it's free for the price of one, yeah.
You could also check it out. I think there's a website, vranchhouse.com, which you can see the building go up. Historically, it was a child development centre that was provided by the Royal Devon and Exeter Hospital Trust. And the building is a very old building, and it was not fit for purpose. So there was already a compelling requirement, really, to look at new building. And obviously, in the economics that we have, the idea of the NHS or the local authority coming up with multi-million pound capital for that was going to be very difficult. So we happened to, the Vranch House is on the same site, right. The school. And the school's been there 30 years, I believe. So I think they'd always work very closely together. As I said, the therapy services were already part provided, so they already had a link. And I think that the idea of bringing that together was also about sort of forward thinking around where we're going with commissioning and working with other organisations. Vranch is just one of probably about four or five voluntary organisations that we already have substantial arrangements with. So Devon's always tried to create that sense. I think this was different because of this capital opportunity, which was very, very welcome, obviously. Mm. What they will continue to do, hopefully, is carry that on in different parts of Devon as well. Mm. And in the revenue, I think there is a clear contractual agreement with the organisation. The actual pooled budget, the Section 10 pooled budget, has a 25-year life, right, with a one-year clause. But I think that was to give the organisation some sense of continuation. Sure. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes back to the points I was making about whatever the size of the cloth you have, you can actually divide it within that context I talked about. And I think a lot of people are saying it's devastating what's going to be coming along. And I think it's turning that around and saying, well, in actual fact, we still are going to have resources. It's just how we use what we've got left. And I think if you can be flexible and creative, which I think this project is, then you can make those resources actually go further.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Back there. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Therese Lord from the National Network of Parent Care Forums. Again, question to you, John. It's a pick on you day, isn't it?
Well, that's a commissioner for you, isn't it?
Well, it's interesting that you have such a vast county. You were telling us about the complexities of the county landscape and so on. And I just wondered if you had any hurdles about transportation, which I'm afraid there's an awful worry around other authorities about transport. If there's any good experience you could kind of tell us about how you jump those hurdles, if you have.
I think transport is a huge issue. It is one of the regular receipts of issues from families. I think the budget in Devon for schools is in the region of £20-22 million a year. It's vast. And I think... have we got any solutions? I don't think we've quite got there with that yet. I do think, though, that we work with a very... it's a multi-agency approach to looking at transport, which I think is different. We have a coordination service, which is actually trying to bring together all aspects. So it's not just schools transport. It's looking at transport for things like access to short break services. And I think that they're very hard done by because of the requirement to reduce their sort of funding. But again, it's one of those models that by looking at coordination, looking at this I mean, they showed me a route map of Devon, which is just the most amazingly complex thing. But the efficiencies that people are finding through that, but by working with families as well. And I think one of the things, the recent review that was undertaken looking at special school routes, was actually working with the families themselves. And some of the families were coming up with some of the solutions that the officers couldn't find. But by no means is it resolved.
Lady at the back there, thank you.
Sorry, John. I'm Julie Bruce from the Parent Carer Forum in Bradford and Airedale. So I started the journey this morning with feet full of snow, managed to get here. I'm interested because at the moment we have two parents helping write the integrated strategy in Bradford, you know, pre-April. And we've highlighted champions as really important, and we felt it was really important. So I'd like to ask you, where are your champions? How often do they talk to each other? And how they influence and change culture within Devon?
Yeah. Obviously, I've worked a lot to develop a very positive relationship with schools, which I can't say was as positive few years ago between the local authority and special schools. I think some of those champions are our special school head teachers. We have a series of strategic planning groups where people actually come together and meet, and we actually have a forum where the chair of the Parent Carer Forum comes and meets. It was a Children's Trust forum, obviously with not knowing where the Children's Trust is going, we're still committed to working in that way. The other champions are, it was identifying key paediatricians, so not necessarily the clinical director, but people who were already working and very, very committed, and actually saying that by bringing them together into this sort of debate and discussion forum, what was their angle in terms of coming from their services? And that supported very much the development of community-based outreach services rather than inreach. So I can't claim that I did that all myself, but the people that we work with have all been looking, well, who's the person in this area that actually really holds some of this sort of true? And it's a whole range of people. And they are out there. Everybody in this room is probably a part of that, so they're out there.
Thank you. Questions about early support, because I was thinking as Liz was talking, I wonder how embedded it is now in terms of how much people do continue to use the materials generated, because I think you made the point very strongly, this should be a mainstream approach, it's a way of doing, and actually it made me think about when I was working in Essex some years ago, before the Aiming High programme, the response of families who were working up that material at that time actually was just so incredibly enthusiastic and supportive of it. The impact on them was huge, and that stayed with me really. So just anybody want to comment about that, talk about that? Lady down here in the... Thank you.
Hello, I'm Sue Corkle. I'm the Regional Director of Kids, which is a charity that supports disabled children and young families. And I'm also a parent of two disabled children myself. And I'm responsible for two designated key worker services, one in Wakefield and one in Hull. And I completely agree with everything Liz is saying, really. We use the early support approach. We deliver early support training. And I think it's a varied picture across the country, but it'd be a real shame to lose it and to go down the path of reinventing the wheel when all the evidence is already there. And, you know, we do get really, really fantastic evaluations from parents who really appreciate the early support approach, and also the emotional support that key working brings to families, which is vital. down. Mm.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions, contributions? Back there.
A question for Liz, really. I know in your presentation you talked about CAF and tax and lead professionals, and just I think some of the areas that I've been involved with, there's some confusion, I think, about the links between the early support programme and CAF and tax and you know, when is which and what are the implications of that. And I didn't know if there's any kind of national steer, really, about...
I'm sorry to say that there is information on the early support web pages, you know, around this kind of area. I think there is some confusion. People get very hung up, I think, on the language of whether we're talking about lead professionals, whether we're talking about link workers, whether we're talking about key workers. My personal comment would be that the best way forward is to think about the function that's involved. There are core functions identified for lead professionals in the national guidance, which operate across a number of different services for families with disabled children are just one example, which are about ensuring that everybody has the information they need to make informed decisions, negotiating the system and sharing information between everybody who needs to know that. And I think that your question is very timely. I think that there is a need to put that perception together with what does that look like on the ground, with a sensitivity towards that continuum that we talked about. And I think where colleagues get very hung up, I understand why people are nervous about if they think of this as a service that needs to be additionally funded, particularly if it involves creating new posts. In the current climate, this is very challenging. My own feeling is that that's not the most important thing or relevant at all. I think it's about a professional culture and shared enterprise, which people who work for health services, people who work for education services, people who work for social services, you know, will find it helpful to buy into, rather than it being another damn thing that they've got to do. It's more efficient from everybody's point of view, and I would suggest more satisfying at the practitioner operational level. There isn't the piece of, if you like, national guidance around key working that you're talking about. I think it would be great if it was pulled together.
But the more we can talk about the impact that approach has,
the better.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to thank all three of our speakers. Thank you very much for some very stimulating inputs. Great to have some discussion. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.